Welcome to an episode of Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where a trainer and trainee talk about herbal medicine and fitness.
We're your hosts. My name is Danielle Kreese, and I'm a certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. And we also have Paula Kirsch, who's an artisanal herbalist and owner of Botanically Curious. So let's go ahead and start the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to another episode of Bands and Botanicals. Paula, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I was just taking a sip of tea while you were
Sorry.
It's a good day. It's nice and sunny and warm, and it feels like we're getting into spring here soon.
I like how we both have different versions of warm. I'm having a good day because while Paula is in her t-shirt thinking it's nice and sunny and warm and spring is approaching, my husband just got me this nifty electric heated vest, and that's what I have on. Right now I have it on the medium setting, but I may kick it up to high soon. So clearly we have two different interpretations, and that's why Paula and I would use two different herbs, because of our energetics, which brings us to our topic, the energetics of herbs and adaptogens. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how I kind of prep and create programs or create the workouts that I do with Paula and kind of the reasoning behind all of that so that you have that knowledge in case you ever want to create a program for yourself or someone else.
So we have a card for today, and we have the hawthorn. So the hawthorn can be considered a tree or a bush, but they have berries called haws, and those berries can be used eaten raw or put into jams and jellies, and they've got a chemical component in them that is similar to aspirin. So they've been used medicinally for coughs and colds and more stuck conditions and things like that. And the hawthorn today has the property of sacred. So when we're looking at that, you know, the hawthorn tree actually brings, it's said to bring good luck and prosperity. And so, you know, looking at sacred and what spaces are you setting for yourself, you know, sacred spaces, or giving yourself that time, you know, what things in your life do you consider more sacred? Maybe it's some type of self-care or ritual, or maybe it's time with your family. And, you know, we're at the end of the first month of 2021, which is nuts.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, so just, you know, making sure you're reevaluating those goals that you want for yourself.
Just to give you guys a little bit of a background, and I'm going to be honest, I'm an honest person. Sometimes too honest. But this is actually, and I'll just say it, sorry, Paula, the second time we're recording this episode. Because the first time we did it, there's a lot of background noise. I had the heater running because we were in the back room. We're still trying to figure out some of the details and kind of what gets picked up on the audio and what doesn't. So we're working our way through, but it's really interesting. You know, we wanted to bring the hawthorn back in, and the way that we looked at the hawthorn on the first recording versus this recording has kind of shifted, and also still is very relative to what we were feeling on each day. Because you know, I'll totally admit that when we first made this recording, I was struggling that day a little bit internally, and Paula and I had a really long talk before we even started recording, which I feel really grateful for. And we kind of were hitting on those ideas before we even pulled the card.
Right.
We were talking about ideas of what we need individually to kind of be the best version of ourselves, or just trying to figure out what really ticks for us, what makes us happy, what's too much, what's not enough. Just, you know, basically that whole idea that Paula just spoke of creating that sacred space for yourself and having intention behind what you do, and making sure that the things that you do are in support of yourself. And then we reread about the hawthorn today, and it's inauguration day.
Right.
Which I don't think either of us are ashamed to say that we're pretty stoked on it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's a really exciting time. I feel like a lot of people in America feel a little more liberated. And I know that we have listeners from all around the world in 12 different countries. And we're so appreciative for you listening to our show. And just knowing that, you know, the hawthorn is somewhat of an inaugural tree associated with the saints in Ireland, and really interesting that it still ties in. So if you have been listening to our episodes, we appreciate it. And one of the episodes that we had posted was on herbal energetics and what that really means, and how being an herbalist in the practice that I was taught really focuses on herbal energetics is kind of the base for a lot of evaluation on how to create different blends or how to really work with someone. Just as a little recap for those who might have missed that episode, it's still on there if you'd like to go back to it. It's herbal energetics part one. But we have certain conditions within our body and certain conditions, you know, just naturally, like Danielle said, she's more of a cold person, I'm more of a hot person. And then if we're injured, those injuries have their own kind of energetics or constitutions to them, that tissue aspect. And then the herb themselves have certain energetic properties, the actions that they have. And so when you're looking at energetics, you're looking at it from three different standpoints. So what the herb is going to do within your body, what your body, the state of your body naturally is, whether that's hot, cold, maybe it's moist, you have an injury, or maybe you have some kind of situation where you're feeling a lot more dampness or a lot more heat in a part of your body, you know, that's the third aspect of it. So you're looking at all of those from a holistic standpoint before you look at what herb that you would like to take. So that's why sometimes when you talk about herbs on the show, they're not necessarily herbs that everybody can use for every situation. They're more generalized. And so that's something really important to know. So like I said, you're looking at hot, cold, moist, dry. Those are the ones we covered in the last episode. Now this episode, I'm going to talk just a little bit about tense and lax. So that can happen mostly in constitutions within the body or aspects where you're going to be having injury. But there are certain herbs that can make you a little more tense, or herbs that can relax muscles within the body. And so if you're already like a lax, damp person, those are things you have to really look out for, and making sure that even if it's an herbal tea that you have, you're not getting something that's going to irritate the constitution of your body, or maybe an injury that you have.
So can those feelings, that tenseness, that coldness or kind of laxness, you know, I feel those also if I feel like anxious on certain days, or if I feel particularly depressed. And I don't like throwing that word around, but I am someone who has suffered from depression for a really long time. It's not just like the general ups and downs, but,
right.
You know, and if you can bring those things, together, or if you do have those kind of physical reactions, because when I have anxiety, I have a very physical reaction. I mean, I get super tense to the point of sometimes shaking. I get super hot and sweaty and gross. And this is complete honesty and vulnerability, because it's not a comfortable place to be.
Right.
And I feel all those things. And then it kind of like, when I do feel that, it segues into the depression. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get so cold, you know, thinking about it now, it's all kind of tying together. Like, I get so cold that then I get more tense.
Right.
And then it all kind of goes into each other. So can you, like, I know you create your blends, even though those are two different, you know, opposing constitutions, can you create blends that will tackle both of those feelings?
So usually,
or do you have to do it separately?
The reason I like herbalism and just looking at it from a holistic standpoint is that, just like anything else, it's never going to be a constant state. And so when you're looking at it from a whole health approach, you know that one pill's not going to fix everything. Mm-hmm. One trip to the doctor, you know, you're not going in there and just having some generically prescribed thing that everybody else has, because the doctor has only 5 minutes of your time.
Right.
It's really looking at and taking that power back for yourself. So when we're talking about tense, usually when tense is paired with hot, that's where you're getting that anxiety from, because the hot and the heat is really irritating. Mm-hmm. And then also getting that tenseness, whether it's tight muscles or whatever it might be, that's going to be anxiety. Like, when you're really anxious, you kind of tense up a little bit, maybe you get a little warm. And so if you know that you're an anxious person, you want to stay away from herbs that have an energetic property of being hot, or ones that are going to make your muscles more constrictive, Actually, you'll probably want to stay from things that are hot, away from things that are hot and dry also. So an instance of that might be a ginger dandelion tea, which is very common, but ginger is very warming and dandelion can be drying. And so if you're drinking a lot of that and you notice that you're already a tense, you're already a tense, hot person, that might exacerbate some of that. And so that's why when I talk about even teas, it's really important to know kind of where you stand with that. Some people might assume that they're anxious because they drink things with caffeine in them, but it's not always caffeine that has a stimulating effect. And when we get into herbal, when we get into adaptogens today, I'll talk a little bit more about that. And then when you feel, so if there's a day where you're feeling a little more anxious, make sure that even if it's garlic, things that you put into your food for the day, that you're eating and you're drinking things that are a little more mild, maybe doing a little more chamomile, doing rose, which is soothing, but it's not going to be too sedative, and just looking at those properties. And then if it's a day where you're feeling, you're cold, you're feeling a little more lethargic, or if you just know that you're more lax in your constitution as your body in general. So that can show up. The cold lax shows up a lot like depression. But what happens with depression a lot of the times, you'll see other symptoms if they're constantly lax in their body and cold and almost moist. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time you'll see things like, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, edema or swelling of the legs or different water within the
retention,
body. Yeah. So that retention there that might just be something that they naturally have. So you wouldn't want to add cooling or moisting herbs like, say, marshmallow root. Now, marshmallow root is really great for your digestion and just coating things within because it's got a mucilaginous quality to it. But if you're already kind of a lax, cold, damp person, you're not going to want to overdo marshmallow root. So it's always that transition of how are you feeling that day,
right?
Really being intuitive into how the day is going to go for you, and then picking what you're going to be eating and drinking based on that. And it's the same with herbs.
My goodness. I almost wish that I could just go on some type of retreat where the focus is just to feel how you feel that day and try to create your eating and your drinking. Yeah, maybe we'll do that one day.
Yeah.
But where you have time where you actually think about, okay, this is how I feel this day, so I'm going to create my menu both with my teas or with my liquids as well as with my food based on how I feel. And that's such an, oh my God, that's just like kind of mind-blowing to me because you never think of it so in detail. I mean, food has become so mindless and we know that it's so necessary that it's just like, okay, I know I need to eat, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I would have never thought, okay, should I eat a bunch of ginger today in my dinner? Should I cut it up and add all of that extra ginger? And, you know, it is almost a threefold approach that you have to take. And maybe one day as a listener and maybe one day, you know, Paul and I could maybe even create this space for right. us at some time to really be able to explore that, because I think it takes time to be that intuitive.
Right. And just like our last guest on the show was talking about food journaling and a lot of that, there's so many benefits to journaling, just taking the time for yourself to really organize your thoughts and the day, and just taking that little time in the morning is so great. And really, you know, anxiety and depression, the reason I mentioned this and why we're talking about tense and lax is that in America, 1 in 5 adults struggle with some form of depression or mental illness, which is really, you know, with 2020 and the things that happened on a global scale, especially in America, with a lot more happening.
Yeah, the environment
right,
has created.
They've deemed 2020, where stress is the largest health crisis for Americans. And so that's why we really wanted to talk about adaptogens today. And, you know, when we're talking about things like depression and mental illness, 20% of those also have diabetes, obesity, heart disease. So there's such a plethora of things to look at from a whole health standpoint that it's not enough to just go to the doctor and get a pill. And I know those listeners that are listening from other countries that have a total different health system than we do in America are probably looking at it like, this is, of course, this is what you should be doing. But in America, it really is like, let me just get a magic pill. I have to get back to work.
Right.
You know, before COVID
happened. It's usually
happened,
a Band-Aid for a symptom rather than.
Right. And before COVID happened, if you weren't throwing up visibly in front of your boss, you weren't allowed to leave work if you were sick.
Hmm.
And it's so interesting how things have shifted away a little bit from that. And now we're looking more into how, you know, stress is the health crisis for 2020, but stress has always been around. Why is it just now that we're really identifying this and how important it is to our mental and physical health? So, you know, those aspects of just looking at herbs, and if you're looking to do this for yourself, you can always look at energetics. I'm also, I put something on our Patreon that has a list of herbs. I think there's maybe 40 of them, and their energetic properties to kind of help you with that. I'm always available on Instagram, Facebook, you know, whatever it is, reach out to me.
Being able to shift and being fluid, I wanted to start talking about kind of the way that I create Paulette's program. And I don't have a, you know, one specific version of a program that I go to for everyone, no matter what. So what I'm going to be talking about here is a little bit more general. And I think that that's a good thing because as a listener, you'll be able to apply these things to creating programs for yourself, or for friends or family. And, you know, hopefully as a trainer, this either reiterates things or gives you different points of views. But we were just talking about how you have to be open to changing, to being, knowing that you're not stuck. Okay, I started using this herb and I have to use all of this herb and it's the one herb that I could use. It's the same way when you first meet a client, I think, and you start talking about their goals. So that's one of the first things that you're going to speak about. I mean, that is the whole reason they're coming to you is because they have a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they say that goal, you're kind of getting a glimpse into who they are. And I think that getting to know your clients is a really important aspect because you'll see how those goals can shift. For example, when someone first comes in, like Paula, for example, she kind of just had a general goal of being more fit, more healthy, getting back into movement, feeling more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And we have approached to programming in that way largely, but at the same time, I have seen as I've gotten to know her more, a little bit of a shift of a goal that we could all that we both have together for her. So I know that she really enjoys hiking. And I know that now because we've spoken about things that she does on the weekend. I'll go into a questionnaire that we do in the beginning when I meet a client, but I won't speak about that yet. But just stories that we have shared right. together, I've learned that that's something that she enjoys. So in my mind, the goal has shifted a little bit, not just general health, but okay, she really enjoys hiking. How can her workouts get her to a place where she could go a little bit further? She could go a little bit higher. She could go a little bit longer. Also knowing some injuries, you know, as I've gotten to know Paula, as we've gone through things. Mm-hmm. So I know that a goal for her, for example, she has some back issues related to traumas that she has gone through, traumas that she went through during childbirth. And we know that, yes, again, general goal of health, but also we have a sub goal of strengthening her lower back, strengthening not just her general core, not necessarily even her six pack, but the transverse abdominals, the ones that are really deep, that kind of work as a girdle around the body to support the organs, to support the body. It's actually the only muscle that kind of, it's an axial extension, so it extends the body up. Mm-hmm. So when you say draw it in and make yourself taller, that's what they're talking about. And I now know that that's something that we really need to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you first meet someone, get to know them, get to know yourself, be comfortable with shifting your goals as you reach your goals or as you get to know your body a little bit better.
Right.
You may realize that, you know, maybe you didn't know that you would love lifting weights. I'm not a huge, like heavy lifter, but maybe you didn't know you would love that and you find that you do and your goal shifts to, okay, I want to be able to squat this amount. Now, what are you going to do to get to that goal? How are you going to shift your training to get to that goal? So just be open, be fluid, and really get to know yourself or the person that you're working with.
Mm.
And That being said, one way that you could do that is something called a Parcue questionnaire. And it basically touches on a few things. It touches on your past conditions, you know, if you had any past injuries, past surgeries, past traumas. It talks about your work, things that you like to do, so your hobbies. And you may wonder why your work may even pertain to what you do in the gym. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't know, I sit at a desk. What does that have anything to do? Well, it has a lot to do. Actually, because you've created patterns in your body. So because you sit at a desk, your hip flexors are affected. They're both, you know, it's this kind of combo of being kind of tight, but also being kind of weak, mm-hmm. because we're in that fixed position for such extended periods of time. If you sit at a desk for a long time, you might just automatically hunch over a little bit more. Our shoulders kind of have a propensity to internally rotate naturally as is, and we have to kind of bring that stability and bring that external rotation and openness into it. So if you are constantly on your phone or constantly at a desk, that rounding is perpetuated. If you wear high heels, your plantar flexor, the way, you know, I read something. Did you ever watch Sex and the City?
No.
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 Okay. Paula's inner feminist is like, nah, bitch. Well, I did. I've watched it many times over, actually, and I'm not ashamed to say it. But I actually read something. It was an interview with Sarah Jessica Parker. And I guess because she wore so many heels for so long, they said that she could created this like extra bone in her foot, or her foot did this unnatural thing to support the fact that she was always in
on her toes.
Yeah, that arched position on her toes. Mm-hmm. She probably had really strong calves. But other than that, it was really interesting to hear how her body literally changed based on her work.
Right.
And you think about maybe a construction worker or a painter or even an athlete that does repetitive motion on the same side over and over and over again, because that's their strong and dominant side. That all creates patterns in your body, which will all reflect themselves in the gym.
Right.
And like I said, your hobbies come into play because you want your workouts to make you stronger to do what you like to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole point, guys.
Right.
Is to take what you do in the gym so it allows you to do more outside of the gym. I mean, gym isn't life. Your life is life.
Right.
But the gym is going to get, well, you know, just movement. I won't say the gym because you don't have to be confined to the gym. But movement in general can get you there. So look into yourself. Look into what you enjoy. Look into your work, your body patterns. Do that for your clients. And then start to create your program from there and jump off from that point.
When you're talking about life and we're talking about work and then trying to get some of that activity in and just the stress, like we mentioned, 2020 being such a stressful year for a lot of people in the ways that we've shifted, adaptogens are really crucial. And for those who have been in the fitness industry for a long time, they've probably heard about adaptogens before, but really adaptogens are herbs that just help your body over time build up a resistance to the effects of stress, the negative effects of stress. And so if you're thinking of resiliency as a rubber band and you're thinking of your health can be more elastic and the stress that is pushed onto your body can then be kind of bounced off. And when you're building that resiliency, adaptogens are a great way to do that. And so, you know, adaptogens obviously aren't the only way. You can get a lot of resiliency through your health just by eating a good diet of natural foods that are organic. But, you know, adaptogens are kind of an easier way when you're working out, when you're putting a lot of stress on your body. And I know, you know, we're going to talk about three today, one in particular that's very common in supplements, but these are all natural. Just because they're all natural, that does not mean they're going to work for everybody or that they're safe for everybody. And I'll get into that. So the first one is Catenopsis, usually native to Asia. And you're looking at typically the root of the plant. So the root of Catenopsis is what you're talking about, and that's usually going to be in the extraction or the powder or whatever you're using. And it's really beneficial because it's immune boosting and it's looking at supporting your overall immune health and your immune system, and especially for those that are a little bit older. So when you're deciding, you know, it's never too old to get into that health and wellness kind of mindset, and maybe you're a little bit older and you're like, gosh, I really would love to do this. I want to do this, but it's such a taxing thing for my body to maybe go out and move and do all these things. Ketanopsis might be one of those adaptogens that you are able to use. So it's extremely effective in boosting vitality. Also, it's really effective for relieving fatigue. And so for women in particular, fatigue is something that plagues them a lot. And so if you're looking for something that's going to help you just feel a little more active, feel like you've got a little more motivation or a lot more energy just to get into the daily routine that you're wanting to, especially if you might have some digestive issues also, you're looking at things that are going to be a little bit safer for your body. This is one that helps strengthen and kind of support your digestive system, also your respiratory and immune system. So we're talking about respiratory system. You know, for me in particular, I had tuberculosis when I was a kid, and so it affected my lungs. Luckily, I went through the treatment, and obviously doesn't affect me as much anymore, but that damage is still kind of there. And so when I'm talking about doing a lot of cardiovascular work and things like that, sometimes taking an adaptogen like Ketanopsis that's going to help in the respiratory functions of the body is going to be beneficial. So things like that, maybe if you have asthma, that's something that might also benefit you.
Just bringing all of these new stuff in, and the herbs that we're talking about today aren't herbs that I've ever even heard of.
Right.
So it's just interesting to kind of start to delve a little bit deeper into this world, and bring some things that you may not be aware of. But, you know, just like we always talk about, just look into a little bit more, look at that threefold mm-hmm. approach. Just like we just talked about, you know, how are you feeling that day? What does that injury look like? What are the constituents of the herb? How do they all work together? Mm-hmm. When you're going into it, don't be like me and just listen to Paula and then buy things and then realize that you don't know what the hell you're doing with them. Or you realize that they're not the herbs that you use, you know, on a very regular basis. But you know, just, I don't know, just do a little bit of your homework, I guess, for yourself, just like everything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about the adaptogens and stuff, I love that, you know, we're bringing that in, because when you're creating a workout program, adapting is a huge component. Mm. So when you're thinking of your moves, you want moves that are scalable. Being able to add a progressive load, or being able to, you know, maybe change what medium you're using or what the focus of the movement is, can all lead to adaptations and changes in your body. So your body is only going to change if you force it to change, you know, in a safe, considerate, mindful way, of course.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you're not sweating your ass off and feeling like you're dying at the time. That wonderful balance, right? But what I mean is, you know, let's take, for example, a progressive load. Mm. So I was actually doing a little bit of research for one of our past podcasts when we were talking to Lavender Moon about herbal witchery and kind of ancient herbs and stuff. And I was seeing if there were any ancient people who used herbs. And then I started looking into the fitness that they may have done. And I started stumbling upon the Greeks and the Romans and kind of the things that they did. And even back then, they have found information suggesting that they trained with a progressive load. Mm. And what that means, if you don't know, is that you are gradually adding more weight or more resistance to your movements. So you could take that into your very generic movements of a squat, a bicep curl, a deadlift, whatever those workouts are in which you are utilizing weight in order to add intensity. So I would like to say that maybe, you know, I would check in with yourself about every 4 weeks or so. See if you're ready to make that jump to an additional weight, if that's what you're looking for. Now, when I say progressive load and when I talk about adapting, I don't, you know, not everyone may be utilizing just strength training. You could add progressive loads and you could add progressive intensities in many different ways just by changing the way that you move. And I kind of touched on this when we were talking about, you know, I think it was our New Year's Eve episode or our New Year episode when we were talking about creating your own gym and creating your own workouts. But let's take a squat, for example. You could do a general squat. You could then add intensity by either speeding up or even slowing down your squat, depending on which part of the movement you're talking about. You can add intensity progressively by creating an unstable surface. You could add intensity progressively by taking it into a single leg squat, doing something like that. So depending on the way that you work out or the way that your client wants to work out, your progressive load, I don't want it to just be connected to weight per se. Mm-hmm. Your progressive load could be how you are changing the intensity of your workouts as well. So, you know, bringing it all back around, it's all about adapting. It's about being open to change, and it's about evolving as your body evolves. And I guess, you know, it's the same with what you introduce to your body through herbs or through food or whatever the case is, you know, and finding those herbs that are going to adapt to what you need, which is really cool.
Yeah, I like when, you know, we're in your gym and going through some of my workouts, and you have that, it's like a Bosu ball, but it's something that's more oval shaped. And so you
TerraCore, if you want to know. Yeah,
so the TerraCore is really interesting because getting on there, you're on an unstable surface, right? And so that's a little more difficult, a little more challenging. But for somebody like myself who has issues with my back, I can't always increase the weight load,
right,
to strengthen. And so, you know, finding that there's other workouts out there or different things that I can do has been really helpful.
Yeah. And the best thing is that, you know, if you have to adapt, if you have to add progressive intensity in different ways, you're also targeting different things, which, you know, makes your program or your workout a little more well-rounded. You know, a lot of our major strength moves, and I've touched on this before, but a lot of our major strength moves target our large muscles. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of those strength moves are, the purpose and the reason behind them is to see those muscles grow. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what I've said, going back to the original personal trainers being bodybuilders. So that was the purpose behind it. But if you're on an unstable surface, not only are you building strength, but you're building a little bit more intention in the core, and you're also building into those stabilizing muscles, those smaller, deeper muscles that are paramount to keeping the larger muscles safe.
Right.
So it really turns into this whole beneficial thing of changing the way you move, of changing your loads or your intensities to meet your body. I'm much like Paula. Because of my injuries, because of my accident, I have found that no matter what, even when I try to have my form as on point as possible, heavy weights do not work for me anymore. I have a lot of issues, a lot of scar tissue in my lower back. I have a hamstring that's only about 30%. I'm missing my vastus lateralis, so the muscle that kind of supports the lateral thigh and the knee, I'm missing that completely. So I just know that no matter how on point my form is, it hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't feel good to add load by weight for me anymore.
Right.
So adapt. Go on that TerraCore. Find a way to add intensity in different capacities.
Well, talking about bodybuilders and the fitness industry a little bit more, this next adaptogen that we have is a lot more commonplace in some of the supplements that you'll find, and it's rhodiola. So I think we had a guest on who mentioned that they use rhodiola as something for recovery. And this one, also known as like rose root or Arctic root, is native to Siberia. So it's more dry, cold Arctic climates that it'll grow in. So not really around here too much. The medicinal compounds of it are, you know, you take the root and it's usually used as a powder that they put in capsule form for stress, you know, mental and physical fatigue, depression. It has been said to be used for anxiety, but from an herbalist standpoint, and this is really important, when you're going out and you're getting supplements or you're getting things from people, they aren't looking at it always from a whole health standpoint, because this person is more into fitness and endurance. They're probably not looking always at the medical aspects of it, the herbalist aspects of it. And so the This one is a lot more stimulating. And so if you're already somebody who struggles with anxiety, or you're a little more tense a lot of the time, rhodiola is not necessarily going to be the adaptogen for you. And so that's why I wanted to mention more than one herb today.
It's noted. Noted.
Yeah. So for things like depression, if you are in those cold, lax, kind of stagnant states where you're just trying to get up in the morning, and rhodiola might be, you know, the adaptogen for you. But it is more stimulating. So if you are taking it, if you're one of those people that already have it and you're like, oh, what do? Don't take it with caffeine. Don't take it with coffee. You know, just some of those things where you're not adding additional stress and stimulus to your body when you're doing that. But that being said, it does have like nerve healing properties. You know, it has been used, some of the chemical components of it have been used to treat like Lyme disease, the fatigue that happens there, brain fog, like menopausal brain fog. Also, it is very drying. So when we're talking about something that's stimulating and drying, that probably means that it's hot, right? That hot, drying state. So if you're looking at it from an energetic standpoint, if you're already a hot, dry person, maybe shift it that day. Maybe try to balance it out. If you do have this as a supplement already, try taking things like rose or chamomile or maybe a little lavender. Calendula is really good. You know, just make sure that you're balancing out those energetics so you're not overstimulating the body in one direction.
Right. So this would be one of those things.
Yeah, and so this one is really good to be paired with the next adaptogen that I'll be talking about. And so really pairing herbs together to balance them out really works, because not everybody's going to be the same. Not one herb works for one person, just like not one pill works for one person or not one workout works for one person. And so if you're looking at it and you're wanting to get that adaptogen, matching it with go-to cola or like a rosemary, something that's going to just soften it a little bit, to make sure that it's not going to wreak havoc on your body over time.
So this would be one of those instances maybe where you would have to be a little intuitive. So if I know that I'm more prone or susceptible to feeling anxious, but on this particular day, you know, so they have that saying, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe you wake up feeling a little bit down. You could sense it and you could be like, okay, today I may take this as a supplement, but it's not something I'm going to take all the time because I'm aware of what the greater constituent behind it is. Or
yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. You know, we talked with one of our guests about the timing of ingesting herbs and certain things and maybe not needing to take them every day. And it's just that additional kind of aspect of making sure that, you know, even if it's a hot, tense state, that stress, you're pulling that rubber band and you're pulling and you're pulling. Now, if you're never letting that rubber band go, you know, you're not, you're going to wear off the resiliency, the elasticity of your health. And so alternating the days that you take it, only taking it on the days that maybe you have a really, really hard workout. Now for me, you know, a reason for this would be like, instead of taking rhodiola because I'm not too big into supplements, even if they are more all natural, I use cayenne pepper or anything with capsaicin, like some bell peppers in my eggs in the morning. So something that's going to just wake me up a little bit, that's not going to be too overbearing, because I can become someone that's a little more anxious and a little more hot because I'm already a hot person. Like the constitution of my body is already warming a lot. So most of the time I stay away from ginger. It's really agitating. Also like garlic, I stay away from that a lot of the time. So just knowing that, that if you know you're just going to need that additional boost because it's the morning time, you're a little groggy. Yeah, sure. But it's not necessarily something you have to do every day.
Right. I like that. You know, it's having to be intuitive. It's taking when you need it, but not feeling like you always have to be committed to it, and kind of like having an ebb and a flow with it, I guess. And I think that's, you know, going back to programming, I like to take it, you know, I mentioned this whole more holistic approach. I've tried to learn from a few different mediums, I guess, or a few different ideas or perspectives. So I've studied my NASM, which is, you know, kind of traditional training, science, great program. We also had to do an Orange Theory kind of academy. It was kind of like an Orange Theory school. And even though that kind of sounds funny, working at Orange Theory, And going through that taught me a lot about, you know, the importance of endurance, strength, and power, how to break them down, how they each have a role to make you a better, more well-rounded athlete versus, you know, just focusing on being an endurance runner, or, you know, not understanding that if you practice your strength and if you practice your power, that's going to play into your endurance. Mm. So that really taught me a lot, and I try to bring that into my programming. I recently got done with it was just a small program, but a 20-hour yoga anatomy class. And that brought in, you know, different ideas from the way you would approach it as a strength trainer, mm-hmm. and the way they approach engagement. You know, for example, I was listening to this personal trainer and I was always watching things that they would do online, and they always talked about this ugly butt squeeze, and I really adopted that. And I've talked about this, Paul has probably heard me say it. Mm-hmm. I know my boot campers have heard me say it. An ugly butt squeeze today is a nice butt squeeze. No, damn, I messed it up. An ugly butt squeeze today is a nice butt tomorrow. But after I took this yoga anatomy course, she spoke about how when we're constantly squeezing, you know, if you're coming out of squats, you're constantly telling them, engage, engage, engage your butt. You know, a lot of us already carry a lot of tension around our sacrum and around our lower back. Mm. So it taught me a lot, actually, about balance as a trainer, mm-hmm. and when I create programs and when I cue my clients or cue members when I'm teaching a class, that yes, that ugly butt squeeze is important, but does it have to be an ugly butt squeeze for every single rep? Maybe not. And does that ugly butt squeeze have to be that you're bringing in all this tension to the lower body? No, it could just be, you know, where you get a little like a cheeky little squeeze. Paula's watching me right now. My face is in my hand movements right now, like I'm squeezing a tiny little butt. But, you know, I think it's important as a trainer. I know that a lot of people focus on one specific way, and they really delve into that. And, you know, as I continue my studies and as I continue to grow, I may find that one thing that really, really resonates. But right now as a trainer, I am really enjoying learning from a bunch of different perspectives, mm-hmm. and bringing that into my clients, and knowing that it's not one size fits all when I create a program, that it doesn't have to be just a strength training approach, but how can a yoga approach also benefit the client? Mm-hmm. You know, when we do some yoga moves, or some days Paula and I will just work on mobility.
Right.
And you know, there's this side of me that's like, oh my God, she's not sweating her ass off. She's going to hate this workout, or I'm not working her out enough for the time that we have together. And then I check myself and I'm like, Danielle, we're in this for the long run. Mm-hmm. This is going to help her become a better strength trainer, mm-hmm. a better endurance trainer, a better power trainer, a better athlete overall. So don't be afraid to bring those other aspects into your program and impart the importance to them on the client. Let them know why you're slowing them down that day so that they're not in the dark, you know?
Yeah, I think the why is so important with anything that you do. I've done tons of different programs, and anytime that your client or somebody's asking you why, if they're not getting the answer, you know, it's always nice to slow down, to take the time and not make them feel like they're stupid for asking the question, you know, all of those things where it's just like, if you can sell them on the why, you've sold them on anything.
Right.
But going back to butts, because you were talking about this, and I'm thinking about, you know, Instagram, and yeah, it's impossible for women to go on Instagram and not see pictures of gorgeous women, you know, fitness. I adore, you know, these women are working hard.
Hell
but
yeah.
What I really love is the fact that the butt of females has shifted from this, now I'm sure people will over-sexualize it as they have, but it's shifted from this over-sexualized aspect to a strength aspect. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this empowerment, the total strength. And that's the thing. It's like we're coming into February already, and February for us is going to be self-love month. We're going to have some really great guests on. We're going to be talking about some things of how to appreciate ourselves and all of those. And just knowing that that is such a strength that women have carried, where it's, you know, you're working hard in the gym, and to be able to lift the loads that you do to build those things, you have such strength everywhere else in your body to make that happen. And I love that we're shifting to this strong physique instead of, you know, it's what's working for you, you know, all of those aspects of, you know, women empowerment and everything. And I love that because for so long it's been over-sexualized in so many different groups. And it's nice to see that women are kind of taking back that power and they're doing it for them.
Hell yeah. I mean, you know, I could go off on this for a really, really, really long time. And I'm sure in our self-love episodes, we kind of will. But, you know, just to really briefly touch on that, I've been the type of person that, you know, with having like the eating disorders growing up and all that stuff, I thought that being as skinny as possible was the goal for everything. Mm-hmm. And after that started to shift before my accident, I started to appreciate strength more. I started to build a bit of a better relationship with food and with myself. But when I got into the accident, I lost all of my muscle. I lost so much weight because I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. And I saw myself at that point that I thought I always wanted to be. And it was like this, it actually, what I thought was my dream kind of turned into my nightmare.
Right.
Like I couldn't even lift 3 pounds without feeling exhausted. I had nothing to my body. I was like a shell of myself. And that's why I love that I had that experience because it taught me so much. And it kind of, if only I could have shown my younger self that and not wasted so much time. But I just love the shift into strength over skinny. And if you're naturally skinny, that's a completely different subject.
Right.
And that's totally fine. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But yes, strength over that forced skinniness. It's a beautiful thing, and just having love for all body types. But I think we're getting a little bit off subject, so let's reel it back in, Danielle. Reel it back in. Okay, Paula, you had mentioned something that went well, a new herb that was going to go well with the rhodiola, something about Coca-Cola, but I don't think that's what it was.
Oh gosh. Yeah, so Gotu Kola, that's GOTU and then Kola, KOLA. So Gotu Kola is actually known really well for vein repairing. So if in your skin. So if you're talking about, you know, wearing high heels, being on your toes a lot, maybe you are just one of those people that has a more lax, damp state in your body in general and you notice edema or you notice varicose veins. So Gotu Kola would be a good adaptogen for you because it's not only going to help with the stress, but it's also going to help some of those other areas in your body. And it penetrates deeply within the layers. So if you're using it as a topical even, you can do that. And you'll see some benefits. You know, it's been used also to supposedly shrink cellulite. Now, going back to this self-love and everything else, I love that we've shifted away from being ashamed of cellulite and whatever that might be. But if you are one of those people that would like to have a more smoother complexion on your skin as you get into the warmer months, then, you know, or for those that are already in warm months, because we have some listeners that are in Australia and other places, then looking at Gotu Kola as an one you take internally and then as a topical would be really good because of how well it binds to the fat cells within your body and really has connection between the tissue. And so it's rebuilding the connectivity between the tissue and it's flattening or smoothing that more, I guess, dimpled look of the skin. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting rid of your cellulite, just like anything else, you know, it's the additional fat reserve in your body. You need that.
There. Yeah. Maybe that's good to know though, that it's shifting from like, oh my God, I hate my cellulite. I have to get rid of it. Or I hate my varicose veins because varicose veins can also come. I already am starting to have some from the accident. Trauma, surgeries, injuries can lead to it.
Right.
But maybe it's shifting from like, oh my God, I need to get rid of them to, oh, this supports my body.
Right.
This supports the skin. That's what I'm going for. Not because I'm ashamed of it or not because, you know, I'm trying to completely erase the fact, you know, cellulite comes from having babies too.
Right.
You're not trying to erase that, but how can you support the skin and support the body? So I love that it kind of doesn't like
right
get rid of it, but kind of stimulates it almost.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're really rebuilding a lot of that, you know, collagen within the skin and making sure that you're supporting your whole health. just like we mentioned. And so Go2Cola actually is really good for preventing Alzheimer's. Now, this is a big one. I personally think that Alzheimer's and a lot like neurodegenerative diseases we see are from a lot of the toxins within our environment and our foods. You know, that's neither here nor there today, but it's one to help prevent that. So if that's something that you're looking into, do you know if there's, you know, it doesn't necessarily even have to be a family history, but if you just want to prevent. Also, it helps with, because it is a little calming adaptogen versus rhodiola, and so it helps to prevent like anxiety. It's really good to be using internally if you have asthma, depression, diabetes, you know, all of these things that it can really help with, because we're talking about stressors on the body. And so if you're already working out, if you're doing these things, and maybe you have, you know, stomach ulcers, or you have some issue in the gut and you're looking for something that's not going to be overstimulating, this is perfect. You know, surprisingly, reading some recent articles and talking about, for millennials, the biggest struggle is colon cancer, like we had mentioned before we started the show, which is really scary. Something that can support your digestion, support all of that as you're going through. You don't want to overload the system. And like I mentioned with skin, it's actually really great for wound healing. So it decreases the appearance of stretch marks and scars if you're using it topically, which is really nice. So cognition and memory, it can indirectly affect a lot of those and help with just better concentration, memory retention. If that's something, like we mentioned, adaptogens help a lot with brain fog. So, and then also we had a guest on the show that was talking about neurotransmitters. Mm-hmm. And so GABA is one of those neurotransmitters that he mentions. And GABA is one of those that I have a really low level of GABA naturally. And that's something that actually slows down your body. And so for me, I'm hot, I'm tense, I'm agitated probably 90% of the time. And it has a lot to do with, you know, tying that into your neurotransmitters. So with Go2Cola, it helps the absorption of GABA within the brain. And so if that's something where you're wanting to relieve that anxiety a lot of the time, you know, like I mentioned, this is a really good one. And just tying it back into some of the other episodes that we had, and so a little more science to it. So that's kind of how that happens. It gives you more of a sedative effect when you're taking that. But it's not going to be as hard as like a barbiturate or, you know, Ambien or something where you're going to pass out.
Or tweet something inappropriate.
Yeah.
No, I really appreciate what you said about it being preventative, how you don't have to take these things or worry about things just because maybe your family history doesn't reflect that. I mean, a lot of what we're talking about with the herbs and with exercise is all preventative medicine. Mm-hmm. It's so that you don't end up in the hospital later on in life, so you don't end up with chronic illness. I mean, bringing both of these focuses into your life can help in such mm-hmm. tremendous ways. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's setting yourself up. It's what we keep coming back to over and over again. And I think it's the great thing about our generation is that we're actually talking about this. How are you supporting your body so that you could feel good for the longevity of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just trying to like feel good until you're what, 35 or 40, and then, you know, at 50 you're like, oh well, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. That's exactly what I did. I used my young 20s to really burn the candle at both ends. You know, I was going to business school, I got my MBA, I was starting my company, I was raising my daughter and traveling a lot. And so it was like all of these things that happened. And now, as I'm getting into my 30s, you know, really leaning back on those things that I had, like the herbalism and some of those slower practices, because you can't keep go, 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 go until you retire, or you're just not going to have anything left.
And I always have to say this because I just feel compelled to. We're not guaranteed that long. Mm-hmm. You're not guaranteed to the end of when you retire. So why are you going to wait to start taking care of yourself?
Right.
Or to start finding happiness until you retire? Without sounding negative or pessimistic or like a downer, what if you just don't get there?
Mm-hmm.
My accident happened at 25. I hadn't even started. I was just traveling at the time. I had spent my 20s teaching English abroad and traveling, and it's only my 30s now that I'm starting to tap into my career and finding those other parts of me. But I would have never had that chance, and so don't wait. Like, don't wait to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't wait to find your happiness. Don't wait to do the thing that you want to do. And again, that could be a completely different topic that we talk about one day. It'll probably tie into our self-love month at some point. But with these herbs, with your movement, with your life, just don't keep putting it on hold because you're not guaranteed anything. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we're kind of getting to the end of our podcast a little bit. And there was just one thing I wanted to touch on right before we left, just to wrap up, you know, your programming. If you're bringing stuff in, and this kind of goes back to how we were talking about being purposeful with everything that you do and having intention behind it, there are a lot of toys out there on Instagram. There are a lot of movements that you see and all these wild things that you see that you may want to try or that you may want to introduce to your clients. Just make sure there's a reason behind them. We brought up the Terra Core before. I personally, and I bought this off Instagram, so, you know, I have bought things off Instagram, but I always knew what I was doing and why I was doing it. So this Terra Core, like Paula had mentioned earlier, is kind of an oval shape. So it's different from the Bosu in that I think it provides a little bit more stability. I think it's a little bit easier on the wrists and on the ankles, especially if you have any issues. For example, any past breaks, trauma, strains, you may not have that strength, and it kind of puts you in a position that may compromise it. That being said, no disrespect to Bosu, use it all the time. Love you guys. But I enjoy the Terra Core. And when I bring it into Paula's workouts, I know I'm doing that because I want to bring that balance component in, that proprioceptive component in where she's a little bit unstable. So there's another toy that I bring in. And this toy, if you just were to look at it for the first time, it would either look like, one, exercise equipment, two, torture equipment, or three, a sex toy. For all you dirty people out there. For the record, for all you dirty people out there, I've only used it as exercise equipment. But what happens is there are these things that you put around your ankles. So I guess kind of little straps you put around your ankles. It comes to a center point and then you hold a handle. So it's basically an X of a band. Now, I brought this in, and again, something I bought off Instagram. I brought this into our workouts, and I've used this with Paula because when you move one part of your body, the other parts of your body, since it's all connected through that band, they have to engage, they have to stabilize, they have to get turned on. Mm-hmm. So I use it to really activate and turn on the entire body, even if you're just focusing on one body part.
Yeah, it was no joke using that thing. That was rough.
Yeah, so that being said, you know, have purpose behind what you do. And then the last thing is, and I'm the type of trainer, and I've been lucky enough that I find clients who are really connected to this type of movements, but I really enjoy functional training. I totally respect and understand the purpose and the placement of, you know, bodybuilding, Olympic lifting, all of those other types of movements. But as a trainer and with the type of clients that I have, functional training works best for them. So what exactly that means is training that you take from the gym and you can apply to outside. When you're doing those step ups on that box or on that bench, that could be a direct correlation to the way that you hike. I like to bring a lot of movements in where you're actually absorbing your impact. So instead of focusing maybe on a box jump, I actually focus sometimes on a box jump down so that you learn how to absorb the impact of moving down with gravity. I mean, even if you're not jumping off of something, the way you step down stairs, how fast do you step down the stairs, with how much control you go down a mountain when you're hiking back down, all of those are components. So take your training, like I've said, and apply it to what you can do outside and how it could translate to the rest of your life. And you know, guys, with that being said, I think we're wrapping up this episode. We're really excited for the self-love month. I think we'll have a lot to talk about, a lot that could benefit you guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just go into the world, stay mindful, try things out, see what works for your body, feel good, have some fun, don't take yourself too seriously. This comes out after Inauguration Day, but I hope you had a great Wednesday, a great hump day. And I think that is the end. So, peace and love. Have a great day.